Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Remember this? Remember these times? Graham Nash sang about it.
So your brother's bound and gagged, and they've chained him to a chair. Won't you please come to Chicago just to sing?
Yeah, he sang about it in 71. And back in 68, it was the Democratic National Convention, trouble in Grant Park, and later the trial of the Chicago 7. And I can still recall the images on TV and in the newspapers of Abby Hoffman, Judge Julius Hoffman, William Kunstler, Bobby Seale, bound and gagged in the courtroom, and the member of the Chicago 7, actually from Chicago, joins us now. Let's say hi to Lee Weiner. How you doing, Lee?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me on.
Lee Weiner has a book out, Conspiracy to Riot, The Life and Times of One of the Chicago 7. I just mentioned all the images that are frozen in my mind, Lee. What's the most vivid memory for you of those times?
Being locked up? I mean, being surrounded by federal marshals and having government witnesses tell terrible stories about me and my friends.
Yeah, it was an amazing time, and especially in light of the events of the day, looking back on it, it's pretty interesting. And you write in your book, finally, among the noise, accomplishments, and cultural changes of the 60s that are still affecting our political lives, where does the Chicago 8 conspiracy trial fit in? Originally, it was the Chicago 8. Where does it fit in your opinion, Lee?
Well, look, I think that the most important lesson from the trial that continues to resonate now is that people can and must resist illegitimate state power. And they have to help sustain a renewed political struggle for social and economic justice. That's really happening now, and it's part of how anyone becomes their best self, a responsible citizen and a patriot. True for me then, true for everyone.
I read that one of your jobs was to train protest marshals to actually protect crowds. Can you explain that a little bit?
It didn't work very well. Yeah. Yes, that was one piece of my work. We knew that, or we suspected strongly, that the Chicago Police Department and the city government was not so happy with the notion of protest against the Democratic Party's presidential convention, and we expected hassles, arrests, difficulty, and part of my work was to help train people to protect demonstrators. Mm-hmm. And marches, people would be on the margins, marshals would be on the margins, trying to keep a separation between the police and the demonstrators.
When the trial of the Chicago 7 actually began in the early fall of 69, Lee Weiner was a student at Northwestern University and a teaching assistant there. You had previously graduated from the University of Illinois. And Lee, you were known as the quiet defendant, weren't you?
Absolutely correct. I gloried in it. Look, I mean, my fantasy, I suppose, was that if things worked out, I'd be able to return to the streets and do political work, which I've been doing for 10 years in Chicago. But that didn't work out. And irrespective of my desperate effort to avoid celebrity, the truth is that the trial was such wonderful news. We were famous. There was no internet, there was no Twitter, no Instagram, so we weren't really, really famous, but we were about as famous as you could get.
Yeah.
back in those days.
You didn't really know one another before the trial, did you?
Jerry Rubin was my oldest friend. I had known Abby for years. I knew Rennie for years as well when he was an organizer in Chicago. I had met Tom before. None of us really knew Bobby. Mm-hmm. I only had met Dave during the actual demonstrations in 68.
David Dillinger,
yes. Look, I mean, the truth is that we, all of us, all eight of us, lived and swirled in a political world, a political environment, an effort to strengthen justice in America, fight racism, bigotry, anti-Semitism, to exploitative capitalism. And so in that world, we kind of knew one another.
Mm-hmm.
Did we know one another enough to plan a riot? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
You had a great idea about inviting an iconic comedian to the courtroom. It didn't quite work out. And talk about that. You know what I'm referring to here?
Of course. We were very fortunate to get Groucho Marx's personal telephone number, and I got the opportunity to talk to him about coming and testifying in the trial about satire and humor. And it was a great conversation. He was hilarious. He told me he was honored to be asked, but he thought because his last name was Marx, he thought the judge would not pay any attention to him.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a highlight.
that would have been something.
It would have been wonderful.
What do you think about this movie? Everybody's buzzing about the trial of the Chicago 7 that opens this weekend, and you're going to be portrayed on the big screen, and everybody is saying this is a terrific script from Aaron Sorkin.
Well, the nice news is that Netflix was very sweet to me, and they gave me an advance view of the film last night. I thought, for the first time.
What'd you think?
Totally, I was totally straight. Big debate about whether to be stoned or not. But okay, so I was totally straight. I thought the movie, first of all, I fell in love with it because it showed on the screen one of the most poignant, most important small pieces of the trial. It's when Abby Hoffman was asked what his price was. There had been talk about his joke about asking for $100,000 and leaving the city and not having the demonstrations. The prosecution put it up as like a serious offer. So he was asked whether, you know, how much would he have gone away for? How much would it have cost? What was his price? And he said, but my price to the revolution was very small, very sad but honest smile. He said, my price would be my life. That's in the movie.
Wow.
Yeah. And
can't wait to see it.
I think the movie tries to accomplish the same thing that I was talking about in terms of what I think the trial in retrospect offers to people now.
Mm-hmm.
It does show people fighting back in a very constrained and very difficult situation in the courtroom, but fighting back against injustice.
Read more.
And working together to make that happen.
More from Lee Weiner. His book is Conspiracy to Riot, The Life and Times of One of the Chicago Seven. Lee, listen to this. Tell me if this made the movie, because I recorded a line for them, just a voice line, and I'm not sure if it actually made the final cut. Here's what I recorded. Tell me if you remember hearing this in the movie. Listen closely.
Abby, over here, WGN Radio. Can I get a comment?
Was I in?
I think you might have made it.
Great. Now I'll go see it. Lee Weiner, a pleasure talking to you, Lee, and continued success and good health to you, my friend.
Thanks for having me on.
You betcha.